Hello, my name is Ben, and you're listening to Your Cricket.
Were you born between 2002 and 2011? There could be around £2,000 waiting in your name in what is known as a Child Trust Fund. Set up by the UK government, many of these accounts have gone unclaimed. And our guest today, Simon Morrikin, a highly successful radio DJ who has worked with the likes of Robbie Williams, Olly Murs, Lady Gaga and more, is here to speak with us about student tax and how you can claim that £2,000. Simon is currently working his magic at HMRC and he's here to break down everything you need to know about student tax, self-assessment, student loan repayments and side hustles. And he's even here to share how the HMRC app can save you many headaches when it comes to your tax, like even getting your payslips early. Hello, Simon. Welcome to the podcast. How are you today?
Hi, Ben. I'm good. Thank you very much for inviting me on. I'm good. The weather's cooled down. It's not piping hot, so I'm not a sweaty mess for a change.
Fantastic. Yeah, I think we're all in the same boat. At the moment recording, it's just after sort of that horrible heat wave we had in September. So yeah. I think it's, as much as we love the weather here in the UK, it's nice to be a little bit sort of back to normal business.
Definitely.
Fantastic. So you're here to talk about tax. It's very relevant, especially if your students are on your first part-time job. It can be quite scary, but really once you get into it, once you get used to it, it's really not too bad. And Simon, you're here to talk about your career too, which we'll get onto in the second part of the podcast.
Yes.
Should we start with tax, I think? We'll dive into that. Tax is one of those things we often hear students say, along with the likes of housing, budgeting, we're never taught about this at school. They jump into a first job and they're sort of a bit unsure. Why do you think tax seems so scary?
I think you hit the nail on the head when you said you're not taught about it in school. I remember being in school, not being taught anything about money, budgeting. I think that's going to change. I think over time, it gets schools modernize their programs. They talk more about budgeting, I'm sure, these days than when I was in school. Mm-hmm. I think it's one of those things that it comes with adulting, doesn't it? You grow up. Definitely. There's things you just start dealing with, switching broadband deals, switching mobile deals. I call it life admin. Mm-hmm. And your tax and your student loans and your national insurance and all the things we'll touch on today, they're actually quite simple to deal with. Mm-hmm. They feel complicated because it's the unknown. And I was always worried about finding the self-assessment through the years that we'll get onto later in my career when I was self-employed. Yeah, actually, you sit down with someone who knows what they're doing. They show you how to do it and then you do it yourself. So it's one of those things that it's much easier now because most of it's online, the HMRC app or gov.uk. And there's so much help out there on our website that even our experts in HMRC, who go on the radio and talk about these things, will just go and browse an article on, say, self-assessment. And the information's there. So it's one of those things that the more you read about it, the easier it becomes. And it's just getting used to it, isn't it? And once you've done it once, it tends to be quite easy after that.
But exactly like you said, it's a bit like a phone bill, isn't it? It's that first time you do it, you think, no idea what I'm doing. But the more you do it, it's not as bad as what you think. There's people to guide you through the entire process. Like I said, you've got the HMRC app. There's people on the other end of a phone line, so it's really not too bad. So if you're a student, definitely listen to this at the moment. You're worried at this point. Hopefully the next 45 minutes or so, we can really put you at ease.
So definitely.
The different types of tax that we have, I think this is where it sometimes gets a little bit intimidating. So I guess we've got national insurance, we got pay as you earn, or PAYE, as they say, self-assessment, which we'll get onto in a bit more detail later, then a student loan. So all of these are sort of different types of tax. Should we start off with national insurance and understand sort of why this is so important?
Yes. So you pay national insurance contributions to qualify for certain benefits throughout your life. So they might not be relevant now, but the older you get, the as you go through life, you might find yourself claiming certain benefits like maternity allowance, if you go off and have children, bereavement support payments, but also the state pension. So again, a young age, when you're leaving college, leaving uni, when you're a teenager, you're not thinking about your state pension. But the minute you start work, you'll start paying national insurance contributions, and that will go towards your state pension, which means in a million years from now, when you retire, you will have a pot of money that will support you through retirement. And it doesn't even occur when you're younger. And I'm glad it doesn't, because live your life while you're young and have fun and don't worry about it. But when you start a job and you're earning more than £242 a week, and you're over, you're 16 or over, your employer will pay that national insurance. It will come out of your wage and it will go into that pot of money that when you're older, you'll be able to tap into. So it's a bit of a, it is a national insurance. It's an insurance that looks after you when you're a bit older. So if you're self-employed and you're making a profit of more than £12,570 a year, you'll start paying it. Or if you're in a job getting more than £242 a week from one job, you'll start paying the national insurance.
And then on the flip side, they've got the national insurance number. Two different things, isn't it? So this is where it might get confusing. So what's the best way that you describe the national insurance number?
So if you're age 16 to 19, you'll get a national insurance number. Now, that will come through normally 3 months before your 16th birthday. If you live in the UK and your parent or guardian has filed a child benefit claim for you, which for most people is probably the case. You can also apply for one. So if you don't get one through, and if you live in the UK and you have the right to work in the UK, and if you're working or about to start work, you can apply for a national insurance number. And that's really simple online. You just go to gov.uk, you search national insurance, and you can apply there, put in your details. And as long as you're, you know, we check that you live in the UK and you have the right to work here and that you're about to get a job, then you'll get your national insurance number. And then when you start the job, one of the first questions your employer asks, which we'll come on to with the HMRC app soon, is what's your national insurance number? And every time I was always like, and my other half, she remembers it off the top of her head. I don't know how.
I've got to that point now, yeah.
Have you really? I'm impressed with people who do this. But when I was younger, there was a little card. I don't know if you ever got the card. They used to get a little plastic card
actually.
It's not good for the environment, so that doesn't happen. You get like a letter now. But you might have lost it, which is why we'll come on to the HMRC app next. But be aware, if you're about to start a job, that'll be one of the first questions.
And I guess a national insurance number is a bit like a phone number, but unlike a phone number, your national insurance is yours for life, isn't it? So happens if you lose your national insurance number? Because of course, it's not like a phone number where you might go from one contract to another and change it. It's, you know, you need to make sure you keep it safe and it's, you know, it's yours, isn't it?
It's yours, yeah. Don't worry about if you lose a paper copy or anything like that. You can access it anytime on gov.uk or through the HMRC app, which we'll come to shortly. But what the way it works is the national insurance number is your reference. So when you start a job, the reason they ask for it is because your employer will then use that number to make sure that your tax is paid and that your national insurance is paid, and it's logged against your name by using that number. So that it means that all your state pensions kept up to date, and it just means that you're correctly paying all your tax and your national insurance using that reference number, if you like, your phone number that never changes for life.
Yeah, perfect. And we'll quickly jump back, we'll come back to the other forms of tax now, but you said about, you know, if you do forget your national insurance, you've got the HMRC app. How can this app help students? You know, I know that when I was at school and get my first part-time job, this app wasn't around, so from the sounds of it, from exploring it, it seems like it's something that can really benefit students now and for the next sort of 5-10 years going forward when they get their first part-time job, internship, placement, graduate scheme, you know, the whole lot.
Yeah, and I wish I'd had this app when I was younger starting a job as well, because like I said, I could never remember the national insurance number and I'd end up digging through loads of documents on my Dropbox to try and find it. But the HMRC app, it's obviously free, it's trusted, it's actually number 4 in Apple's finance top chart.
Fantastic, yeah.
And it's got a good rating. And if you use this app, it will get you into your new job quicker, because you're not going to wait around on a phone line. Because what happens is, if you need your national insurance number, you can download the HMRC app, you can log into it using your government gateway, which most people have already set up for other parts of government. But if you've not set up a government gateway account, that doesn't take long. It verifies that it's you. You create your account. Once you've created your government gateway account, you log into the HMRC app, and from then on, it's your either a PIN number or facial recognition. But what happens is, if you then decide to apply for your first job and they say, what's your national insurance number? Rather than going off and having to ring HMRC and then wait for a letter to come through the post, you can log into the app. You can load up your national insurance number, but you can also spit out a PDF of your official national insurance letter that says, here's your letter, because often jobs will ask for that. So you can bring up your PDF on your phone while you're there. And, you know, if you're going for the job, hand them your phone, they can go and take that off. But you can also store it in your wallet. So on your Apple wallet and the Google.
Fantastic.
Is it called on Google Wallet as well? Yeah. So that means your national insurance number is there all the time on your phone. You can also check your tax code, because you'll hear people talk to you about a tax code, and that depends on what you're earning, whether you've got any side jobs, etc. Your tax code will be the app. If you're switching jobs, maybe you've had a couple of jobs already, the app will show you your employment history. So that's really handy. So if you if you're doing a CV and you think, hang on a minute, where did I work between this year and that year?
Yeah,
it's all on the app. And you can also, one thing I find really handy on the app, because I've got it, is it tells you what you're getting paid before it actually all comes through. So nice, when your employer pings off the pay slip and it goes to HMRC to say you've paid your tax and your national insurance, it will show up on the app. So that means you can budget better. I find it really handy thinking, okay, I know what's coming in this month. Oh, that's not a lot of money. No more takeaways this weekend.
Yeah, yeah.
And you can view all that on the app as well. So it's just super handy. If you are applying for your first jobs, get the app and then you've got your national insurance number with you.
Ah, oh, fantastic. And any other ways that students can really get help from the app?
On the app, you can view your pay slips and check your payroll number as well. So this is really important for keeping an eye on the national minimum wage to make sure you're getting paid the right amount of money. So if you're not set up on with the company's pay slip account, or it's a bit of a challenge to log in, that kind of thing, or maybe they're still on paper slips and you've lost it, you can view your pay slips as well through the HMRC app too.
Ah, fantastic. So it's literally a one-stop shop essentially for tax, getting paid, and everything you need around employment outside your job.
Yeah, it's all in that one place, and your tax code. So you'll often get people saying, keep an eye on your tax code, because if you've had, say, part-time jobs in the past and then you start full-time and the paperwork isn't quite done correctly, you can be put on an emergency tax code. And that means you'll pay a little bit more tax. You will get it back once the tax code is corrected, but you can keep an eye on your tax code as well on the app. So if you're not quite getting the full amount that you should be each month, you can check your tax code on the app as well.
Fantastic. And whilst we're talking about tax codes, should we jump forward onto that in terms of the other form of tax, pay as you earn, or PAYE as it's normally shown on your pay slip. So first of all, what is pay as you earn and what is a tax code? And a question we often get, and I know I had the exact same thing when I started my first ever job, why is it 1 month when you first start, it's one number, then it changes to the next?
So that all depends on your employment history before and what details you've given to your employer. Mm-hmm. So PAYE, pay as you earn, that's the system that HMRC uses to collect your income tax and your national insurance contributions as well. So your employer will process all this information based on what you've told them. So rather than having to file a self-assessment if you're self-employed, PAYE is where your employer will look after what you've earned that month, and then they'll deduct your tax and your national insurance based on your tax code. So jumping forward to your tax code, as you correctly said, some people can be put on an emergency tax code. So the way this works is, if you're starting in a new job, normally your employer will give you a P45 from your previous job. Mm-hmm. And when you start your new job, they'll ask, have you got your P45? And you hand them that, and that gives them the details that they need to put you on the correct tax code. Now, 1257L is the tax code currently used for most people who have just one job or one pension. So that's your standard tax code. Now, if you started a new job, you can go to gov.uk and check what your tax code means. So if you find that you've got some different numbers or letters on there, like W1 or M1 or X, those are emergency tax codes. And they mean that you'll pay tax on all of your income above the personal allowance, which is £12,570. Now, if you've been put on an emergency tax code, what you can do is get in touch with HMRC and update us with your details. So if you're starting a new job and you've not quite got all the correct information to your employer, you'll probably be put on an emergency. You can be put on an emergency tax code. Yeah. If you've been working for an employer after being self-employed, that might go into emergency tax code, but they're only temporary. So what HMRC will do will update your tax code when you or your employer give them the correct details. So if your changing circumstances means that you've not paid the right amount tax, you'll stay on that emergency tax code until you've paid the correct for the year. But if you find month one, you've been put on an emergency tax code, get into, speak to your employer and say, look, can we get these details right? And they'll then correct it. And then you'll receive, you won't pay as much tax in then in the next pay slip, if that's what you mean, if you get what I mean, until it all catches up. Or gov.uk, search tax code, get in touch with HMRC. You can do it online. You can chat to us that way. So it's nice and quick and easy. And you can update us with the details there and we'll correct it. We'll put you on the right code. And from then on, the tax will correct itself. So if you paid too much, you know, you'll pay less in the next pay packet. If you pay too little, you will pay a bit more until it's all leveled out.
Fantastic. And that's something we often say to students, is that when it does come to tax, especially like you said, the emergency tax codes, it always evens out over the tax year. So that's April to April, the tax year is. Yep. Over that period of time, it always evens out. So that brings me on to, a lot of people sort of refer to it as that dreaded brown letter that you often get through the post, which 9 times out of 10 is normally quite good news, actually, isn't it? And that's the letter where you get that you've either paid too little or too much tax. How do these letters work? And what's the next step once you get those letters? Because most of the time is that you've paid too much tax, isn't it?
That's right. So each year, your account should be balanced out. If there's been too little tax paid, yeah, you'll get the letter saying, you know, you owe some tax. If there's too much, you'll find yourself getting that letter that people seem to really enjoy of, you know, you've paid too much tax.
Yeah,
here you go.
I've had a few of those, yeah.
And if you have paid too much tax, there's an easy tool online to check. If you go to gov.uk and search how to claim a tax refund, you'll find the tool there. Regarding paying too little tax and being worried that you're going to get that letter that says you owe us, what I'd say is keep an eye on your pay packet. And you can always ask your employer for help, you know, if you don't think things are right. If you're getting more than you expect each month, it might feel good and you're like, this is great. But just remember, you know, you might be asked to pay that back later. And if it's tax, mm-hmm. you will be asked to pay that back later.
Yeah.
If you pay too much or too little by the end of the tax year, which, as you said, is April, we'll either send you a tax calculation letter, which is known as a P800, or a simple assessment letter. And those will tell you how to get a refund or to pay the tax that you owe. Now, don't worry. It's not as scary as you think. There is help out there. There's ACAS, which is the Advisory Conciliation and Arbitration Service. What ACAS do is they offer help about everything to do with work, employment law, workplace advice, workers. You know, if you come across a problem in your job, ACAS are brilliant. So if you're struggling with your pay packet and you don't understand it, in the first instance, I'd chat with your employer and say, have you taken all the right tax off this? Have you got me on the right tax code? You can do the same with HMRC, get in touch with us, or you can call ACAS and either Google them or 0300 123 1100. So there is help out there. So what I'd say is, when you first check your pay packet, if you don't think it's right, do something about it then.
Yeah.
Because otherwise it could mount up. But don't worry, we will always work with you to correct it. So you're not suddenly going to be, you know, thrown against the wall with a huge bill to pay tomorrow. We always work with people. We'll support you to get it right and get it back on track. So it's nothing to be afraid of.
I guess that's part of the nice thing, isn't it? The fact that your employer is actually responsible for your tax being paid. Because could you imagine a world where we had to pay our own tax every time, unless you do self-assessment, which we'll get onto in a minute.
Yeah.
Because imagine if working part-time, you have to each April do it yourself. So that's the quite nice thing about having an employer who pays the tax for you, that, as I said, 9 times out of 10, that tax worry is sort of out of your control. It's taken care of. It'll be nice if everything else is taken care of in life, like I said, the phone bill, the car insurance, all that stuff. It's really positive.
It's really helpful being in a job that's PAYE, where there's normally an accounts department and they look after it. I would say, as a safety net, always check it yourself. Yeah, check that 100%. Paycheck, check the tax code, check those numbers are going out. Because what can happen is, in some companies, you'll have an accounts department that deal with your say Monday to Friday 9 to 5 job. Then if you work overtime, sometimes that goes to like a different account department. And what they don't do is they don't then tax it. They can get the codes mixed up. So just keep an eye on it yourself. Ring ACAS, ring HMRC, get online and double check it with that tool that I mentioned at gov.uk, where you search, get online at gov.uk and search how to claim a tax refund. And just keep an eye on it is the best advice, I'd say, month to month.
It's nice and simple, isn't it? Nice and simple to just literally keep an eye on it. Like you said, if you're getting paid too much, just be a little bit wary. You know, it'll feel nice, but yeah, just put your things.
Is it too good to be true? Is it too good to be true? Is the question? Yeah, that's it.
100%. And you just touched a minute ago on self-assessment. We'll get onto that in 2 seconds. But the final, I hate calling it a tax. It kind of is, kind of isn't, but a student loan. So of course, if you've now graduated from university, your student loan, I might get my numbers wrong here. Is it around £27,000-£28,000 you start paying it back?
It depends on which plan you're on. So there are different plans. And you can check, by the way, which plan you're on. You can either sign into your account that has your student loan on, or you can also go to gov.uk and search manage your student loan balance. And you can also ask your employer, by the way, which plan you're on, because they'll know when you start your job. Plan one is, so the income threshold, so you don't pay anything back if your income threshold, if your income is under the threshold, I should say. Plan one is around about £20,000, just over £20,000 a year. Plan two, just over £27,000. Plan four, just over £25,000. Or for a postgraduate loan repayment, it's bang on £21,000. But there's quite a lot of detail on this on gov.uk. If you search repaying your student loan, that will help you figure out your plans and what you're going to pay. But like you said, there are those quite good, I think quite good thresholds there that you're not going to pay back your student loan if your income is under that threshold.
I think that's the thing said, isn't it? I mean, we could do a whole conversation, a whole probably hour talking about student loans. So yeah, 100%. If you're anyone listening to this is unsure what either plan they're on, or especially when it comes to repayment, definitely be sure to literally check out the government website to see, you know, what plan and what the repayment procedure is for that. Because yeah, it'll be a horrible thing if you suddenly graduate and you see something taking out your payslip that you're not sure about. So make sure you're the same again. You're one step ahead of the game. And get the information you need.
And each plan of those, by the way, has a threshold for your weekly or monthly income. So you'll repay 9% of the amount that you earn if you're over the threshold for plans 1, 2, and 4, and 6% if you earn over the threshold for the postgraduate loan. So, you know, there are those small percentages there that you'll be paying back. So that'll obviously change. The more you earn, the more you'll be able to pay back of that loan. Gov.uk, repaying your student loan, or you can search manage your student loan balance. And there's a wealth of material there that you can read. If it's something that's concerning you, how much you'll pay and you want to budget for it, then have a little look at the calculators there.
Fantastic. Now, should we get on self-assessment? We'll come on to part-time jobs shortly, but self-assessment. First of all, what is self-assessment? And why is it quite important these days, especially in this, you know, digital era, when it comes to side hustles?
Oh, so important. So not a lot of some people don't always realize that they're going to need to file a self-assessment. Now, the way self-assessment works is when you're not on PAYE, when you're earning an income from being self-employed. So this might be a side hustle. You might be creating videos online. A lot of people do different channels these days and they create content and they earn, some people earn tiny amounts of money. Some people earn a lot of money online. And if you're doing this and you're doing this yourself, you're responsible for making sure that you pay your tax on that money. If you're earning over £1,000 a year from something, you probably need to tell us about it. So a self-assessment is where you basically fill in a form of what you've earned, what you've spent for your business. So I mentioned like creating videos online. You might have set up your own big online video channel and you bought a camera and you've bought some editing software and you've bought a laptop. So some of that will form part of what we call business expense. So your self-assessment will go through what you've earned, what you've spent for the business, and it's got to be genuinely for the business and exclusively for your business. It can't be a laptop that you're also using, you know, in your spare time. It's your own laptop. Has just to be used for your business. So if you're earning over £1,000 a year from something, I always use the example of selling cupcakes. So I have no friends who've set up a Facebook page and they've done really well. They sell cupcakes and they all of a sudden a little hobby's turned into a job and they're getting a good wage from it. So if you're earning over £1,000 a year from something, you need to tell us about it. You're self-employed, you run your own business as an individual and you work for yourself. It's what's known as being a sole trader. And if you set up as a sole trader, you need to tell HMRC and you'll need to pay through a self-assessment and you'll need to file that tax return every year. So you go to gov.uk and you search for register for self-assessment. So if you're earning over £1,000 a year, do that. Get online, gov.uk, register for self-assessment. Because like we touched on with tax codes, if you're having this money come in and then HMRC find out about it, and we do investigate these things, we're going to say you need to pay your tax on this because you've earned this money. So keep all your receipts, keep a log of your income, outgoings as well, and then make sure you're putting money aside to pay tax on it if you're earning enough. So I was self-employed for many years when I worked in radio. So what I would have to do is every month I got a lump sum of money and there was no tax and no national insurance paid on that. So what I would have to do is I would keep a percentage aside. I actually kept about 20% aside, transferred it to another bank account. And then twice a year with self-assessment, I would pay a lump sum. So one was in summer, one was in winter, and it was a two payments. You can, I think you can actually do it each month. You can pay each month. And that way you don't end up too far behind. And you'll need to keep your business records, any expenses, register for that self-assessment. And that way you're going to make sure that you paid all your tax. And just be very careful, because a lot of, there are so many digital ways to make money now, aren't there? And you might think, oh, this is a handy bit of cash. Just make sure that if it's over £1,000 a year, you register for self-assessment.
I think one of the most important things about when it comes to self-assessment is actually one of the benefits. And students listening might think, why is there any benefit to paying tax? But one thing that's really crucial about it is, one, if you're young, even if you know you're 18, 19, 20, you might be thinking about moving out in a couple of years, or you might want to be buying yourself a new car. Self-assessment is essentially a way that you can prove those earnings through the tax that you're then paying. So I moved out last year, and my partner and I, we have a side hustle. If it wasn't for doing self-assessment, when we then went to the bank for our mortgage advisor and says, we earn X amount, we want this to go towards our income that we want to then have for the loan against the house. Without that self-assessment, there's no proof. So having that self-assessment really there from the start, when you first, you know, start doing your little side hustle, whether it's a car, house, or anything else, we need to prove that income. It saves those sort of headaches further down the line, because anyone could say, oh, I've earned £10,000 from the side hustle, or £20,000. If there's no proof of what you're doing, you could get yourself in a bit of a sticky situation. And it's really important too, because a lot of these, you know, especially when you want to buy a house, it's 2 years of books normally, isn't it? That's sort of the general minimum.
Absolutely right on all this, by the way. I went through exactly the same on my first mortgage. And then again, when I switched mortgages a few years back, I had to prove it. Yeah, and I was self-employed. So it was, okay, if you're self-employed, you've got to send us your latest tax returns, your latest self-employed tax returns. So yeah, they look at that. And I think they went back 3 years with mine. I think they can go further. It probably depends on what you're borrowing, what your history is. But you're absolutely right. You might be able to say to the banks, look, you can show them your bank statement and what you've got in your bank, but they will want to know what you've actually earned and what you've sent to HMRC as tax, because that proves that it's genuine money that you've earned and you've declared to HMRC. So it's legitimate. It's genuine.
Yeah.
So you're absolutely right. You can be self-employed all your life and it's perfectly fine. You might earn a lot more. Some might say you might earn a lot more money than being in a 9-to-5 Monday to Friday PAYE job, because you can. I used to find with self-assessment, being self-employed, the more you work, the more you earn, right? You probably find this yourself, Ben. And I could do three radio shows in a day if I wanted to not sleep. And I'd earn three times the money in a day. So for many people, it's a great way of earning money. And like you said, file that self-assessment. That's going to help you prove your income if you come to get a mortgage, or probably other finance products would look at the same thing as well.
Yeah, especially when you want to make that jump to maybe finance your first car. Don't get stuck in the mud there. Absolutely.
Very good advice. Yeah.
So when it comes to self-assessment and side hustles, It's probably such a loose thing to say, but what can we class as a side hustle these days? Is it quite literally anything you're making money on the side of a job, whether it be part-time or full-time?
I would define a side hustle as something that you're doing yourself, that you're getting money directly for, and it's not going through a payroll, or it's not going through a company who are paying tax. It's anything that's not declared to HMRC. that you would need to declare yourself. And if it's over £1,000 a year, you need to start telling us about it. You don't pay tax on that £1,000 a year. You've got to be earning much more than that before you start paying the tax.
Yeah.
But you'd have to declare it to us. We have to know about that income. And so a side hustle, be it creating online content, be it anything you're receiving money from, if you're receiving that money into your bank account and it goes over £1,000 a year, you need to tell us about it. Yeah.
Yeah. So I might be a student at university. I've got a part-time job on the weekends, but then I also have a side hustle. So that's mixing in pay as you earn and self-assessment. So how do both work hand in hand?
So if your PAYE and self-assessment, if your full-time job is PAYE, your employer will look after your tax, national insurance, and issue your payslip there. If you're then doing your own business online, off your own back or offline, it doesn't matter where it is. I was DJing in a field the other weekend at a festival. That was off my own back.
Yeah.
And if that's earning you over £1,000 in a year, you'll need to file the self-assessment on that. So what happens is HMRC will receive both. They'll receive your PAYE from your employer and they'll receive your tax return. And that's fine. They'll just connect the two. That's why you have your national insurance number and your name and everything's registered with HMRC. They'll merge the two over the year. You'll pay your self-assessment tax in a separate way, as we've already discussed, but your PAYE, your employer, will look after that. Now, what you need to do is, if your PAYE is your main job and your side hustle is like evenings, weekends, or whenever you can fit it in. If your PAYE is your main income, you want to set your tax code against that income. Otherwise, you'll end up put on an emergency tax code. So what you need to do is speak to your employer and ask them to set your tax code against your main income, or contact HMRC, get on gov.uk, search tax code. And if you find that your tax code is an emergency one, it might be because they've seen your self-assessment as well and set the tax code against that. So that we don't quite know what you're going to earn in a year. So yeah. It's somewhere in the middle. Contact gov.uk, search tax codes, get in touch with HMRC and just ask them to set your tax code against your main PAYE income. They'll then tax that and take the national insurance from that, and your self-assessment will be done separately by yourself, and you'll pay the tax and national insurance contributions alongside that as you go along.
I guess the perfect thing about the, as you discussed earlier, that the government gateway is that you literally just have to do your self-assessment because your pay as you earn is already in there. So then you have, of course, your April. It's 6th of April to the 5th of April. That's the sort of time scale to do each tax year. So that period that you've earned over your £1,000. And then you have the deadlines to pay. So there's one in January, isn't it? It's January 31st.
That's it.
A second payment in the summer, you say.
So the deadline to file your self-assessment is the 31st of January. So let's say you're listening to this now and you've been working through this year and you've earned your self-assessment money. You've been doing something online. You register for self-assessment right now. You can file it any point up until the 31st of January. We always say file it as early as you can. So this, by the way, is from April to April. So it will be the tax year that finished in April earlier on this year. Okay. Yeah. So you've got until January 31st to file that. File it as early as you can. It doesn't mean you have to pay the tax, but you need to get it in before the end of January. And then after that, your payments can start going out, normally in the summer, normally in the winter, to pay that money. And that will make sure that you're online, you're on time, you know, you can budget better yourself. Mm-hmm. If you've done your self-assessment now and you know what you earned in the last financial year, so that would be April 2022 to April 2023. If you're doing your self-assessment for that now and you file it right now, you know exactly what you've got to pay, don't you? You're not waiting until the end of January and then thinking, oh, I've only got a few months and the payment will be coming out. Mm-hmm. So it just helps you budget better.
Absolutely. And it, like I said, it really is that simple. And if you can get prepared, I think that's the sort of theme throughout this, isn't it? Get prepared, know your resources, you know, there's going to be no shocks along the way.
And what I used to find being self-employed for many years was the minute it had passed the 6th of April, and we're into a new tax year, I thought, right, my previous year of work is done. I'd have my sheets because I keep them updated every month. If you're organized in business, you know, you keep your spreadsheets up to date or your notes on what you've earned, what's gone out. I would file it. I'd try to file it in April or May because then it's done. It's with HMRC. They can do their calculations and I would know what I need to pay then. Some people file it on like the first day, like 6th, 7th of April, like really organized. Some people do it on Christmas Day. I mean, the family must be really boring. The family must be really boring if you're doing that. But yeah, it's just about being organized. What I would say is don't leave it to the 31st of January because it's the deadline. If you come across a problem, if your broadband goes down, you know, you might start facing a fine then if it's far late. So just get it in nice and early. Try and be organized with it.
Mm-hmm. So you've got a whole, 9 months or so to get it in? So yeah, there's no excuse for doing it on the 31st of January. Get yourself organized, guys. Do we talk about summer jobs now? So a lot of students... you might have just had your first summer job, or you might be getting your first Christmas job, or sort of next year you might be thinking, actually, you know, I've gone into sixth form or college, let's get myself a job. And when it comes to minimum wage, what is it? But also, what's the difference between minimum wage and living wage?
Good question. So the national minimum wage is the legal minimum hourly rate of pay for workers over the compulsory school age. So it's when you start working. Now it's usually 16, but you can reach compulsory school leaving age at 15, depending when your birthday is. So I've just got to throw that in there. The national living wage was first introduced in April 2016, and that's payable to anyone aged 23 and over. So that rate is £10.42 in this tax year, April 2023 to April 2024. So going back to the national minimum wage, there are different minimum wage rates for workers depending on their age and whether or not they're an apprentice. So I can go through these rates if you like, very briefly.
Yeah, go through it. Like you said, that they are correct as of this tax year. So 2023, 2024 for anyone listening.
That's right. So if you're over 23 years old, you'll be on the national living wage. That's £10.42. If you're between 21 and 22, it's £10.18 an hour. If you're 18 to 20, it's £7.49. If you're 16 to 17, it's £5.28 an hour. And if you're an apprentice, it's £5.28. So those are the rates. And the rates are reviewed every year, and any changes will come in with the effect on the 1st of April. Now, employers must pay the minimum wage to anyone deemed as a worker. And a worker is someone who's entered into a contract of employment or any other agreement where you provide work or services for someone else. Individuals who are genuinely self-employed and voluntary workers are not eligible under this legislation. But employers must pay it to anyone deemed as a worker.
So let's give an example. So I am 16. Going into my first ever job. So that's key. It's my first ever job. I'm 16 years old. If it's just I'm a pot wash in my local pub just down the road, I get minimum wage, don't I?
Yep. £5.28 an hour for washing those pots. Yeah.
Fantastic. And even if I work 2 hours, 1 hour, you know, minimum wage still applies.
Absolutely. The minimum wage must be paid to workers for all the time where they're considered to be working. So this is quite important because that can include things like work-based travel, time spent training, regular periods of time before and after shifts. If the worker's required to be there, you might be opening and closing a store, you might be doing security checks, you might be putting on PPE or cleaning or stock taking, then workers must be paid at least the minimum wage for all the hours worked in every day period. So that's really important. And it's the employer's responsibility to ensure that their workers are getting the pay that they're due under the minimum wage rules. We are here to support employees to get it right, but we do clamp down on those who aren't paying it.
So what happens if I look at my payslip? You know, I might even go on the HMRC app. I might look at my payslip and I notice that something's not quite right with my pay. You know, it looks like it's under what it should be in terms of minimum wage. What's the next steps that I can do to investigate this?
So what you can do, if you think that you've been underpaid by an employer, you can report this online to HMRC, and you can do that by searching complain about pay and work rights on gov.uk, and you can complete that form anytime, day or night. It should take no more than 10 minutes, and you can choose to report anonymously, and you can also report on behalf of someone else, because obviously it can be quite an intimidating thought This is our most popular route for workers to report their concerns, to do it online. Before that, I would just suggest that it can be worth going to your employer. If you get on with them, if they're approachable, just have a chat, say, I'm not quite sure I'm getting what I'm owed. Often it can be a very genuine mistake and they've just got something wrong. So if you feel comfortable, go and talk to them. If you don't feel comfortable, that's fine as well. Gov.uk, complain about pay and work rights. You can also discuss it with ACAS that I mentioned earlier on in this conversation. Yes, yeah. They've got the free and confidential advice. Google ACAS, get in touch with them. They're very good at this sort of thing. And there is a benefit, by the way, that if you've genuinely not been getting the national minimum wage, and perhaps the company's done it on purpose, then there is the benefit of reporting these concerns, because HMRC can investigate back as far as 6 years. So if you've been in the job for a long time, we can look at the entire workforce to make sure everyone else there has been paid the national minimum wage, including ex-workers. And you can report it anonymously. So, you know, you're not going to fill in that form and then find that your boss comes downstairs the next day and says, what have you done? So there are options there if you've not been paid the national minimum wage.
Fantastic. And final sort of scenario. So what happens if a small firm is run by, you might be a family friend, and they can't afford to pay, you know, my wage in a pay slip, for example, but they can offer a little bit of pocket money? What's the rules around there? What's the legality that I need to consider, get myself into those situations?
I know it can be difficult if it's a friend, if it's a family, but by law, workers must be paid at least the national minimum wage and the national living wage for their age for all time spent working, whether that's a friend, a family member. If you enter into that worker terminology, if you enter into that contract as a worker, you have to be paid the national minimum wage. Yeah.
I guess you just don't want to sell yourself short, do you? You know, if you're offering yourself to work for somebody, you know, whether it's, you know, in a restaurant, a pub, or your local, you know, a sports center, you need to make sure that you're getting the fair end of the stick, essentially. So yeah, definitely speak up about it. Don't let yourself get, you know, undersold.
Absolutely. Especially if it's your first job and you want to seem keen, you know, the national minimum wage and national living wage are there to protect you, to make sure you're getting what you deserve for putting that work in. And that's why it's there. It's there to protect you. So make sure you're getting what you deserve.
100%. Absolutely. Now, I believe, Simon, as well, there's potentially, if you're born as after 2000, there may be some money hanging around for you in what's known as a child trust fund. Is this, you know, is this popular news? Do people know about this?
This you might not know about it because the letter might be tucked away somewhere. So there are almost 430,000 18 to 21 year olds with what's called a child trust fund. And these are unclaimed ones. Almost 430,000 of them. And I'm hoping that someone listening to this podcast right now, but unclaimed child trust funds, they're worth on average £2,000. And we're urging people to claim this cash. UK Savings Week takes place in September. So I wanted to talk about this. 18th to the 24th of September is UK Savings Week. So it popped into my head. Now, child tax funds, these are long-term tax-free savings account, and they were set up for every child born between the 1st of September 2002 and the 2nd of January 2011. And the government contributed an initial deposit of at least £250. Now, I'm talking about this now because these funds can be withdrawn once the account matures, which is when the child, no longer a child, turns 18. And a lot of people that, you know, might not remember this or might not remember setting it up. Parents might not remember setting it up either. So if you're 18 to 21, you're starting out in your first job or an apprenticeship, or you're starting uni or moving to your first home, this child trust fund is a pot of money that probably got your name on that you might have forgotten about. And if you're a parent, you might have forgotten about it. So there's an online tool at gov.uk. You search child trust fund and that will find, if you've got a child trust fund, it will track it down for you, and it could make a real difference to your future plans.
That money could go, that could go a very long way. That's your first car. That's part
of it. Absolutely. Yeah, especially if you're at that point where you're starting in your first job or starting uni, boy, oh boy, that's going to help you, isn't it? So gov.uk, search Child Trust Fund, and if yours is there unclaimed, get that money.
Absolutely gutted that I was born in 98. That's 4 years too early.
Me and you both. Well, I wasn't born in 98, but gutted I wasn't born in that bracket.
Missed out on this. Definitely, if you guys, if that is you in terms of that age range, just be sure to just check that out, because that's, you know, that's free money on the table for you. And you can, yeah, make the most of it.
That's it for part one. Don't forget that Simon joined us for part two on another episode, speaking about his life as a radio DJ, where we get to hear about his story to becoming a radio DJ, as well as the day in the life of what he does at the moment. Thank you for sticking around. We hope you enjoyed. See you in part two.